77. Psalm 77. Let's stand and read God's word tonight, Psalm 77. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord, my sore ran in the night, and ceased not, my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest my eyes waiting. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient time. I called to remembrance my song in the night. I communed with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Does his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten his gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercy? Selah. Don't tell me this David wasn't crying when he's praying this. And I said, this is my infirmity. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of all thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. The waters saw they. O God, the waters saw they. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens. The lightnings lightened the world, and the earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy paths in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. May God have the blessing of the Word of God as He always does. You may be seated. Father in heaven, I pray tonight that You'd certainly speak to our hearts. Dear God, so many times we have failed to really understand how much You love us. Oh God, we complain. We gripe. We act like little children that want somebody else's toy. We act so foolish. Lord, help us to learn how to take our heartaches, how to deal with them. Lord, please, God, don't let us live like a bunch of atheists. Help us to live like Christians, sons of God, who have a purpose in this life. In Jesus' name, amen. From Psalm 71, verses 1 through 9, in those first 9 verses, you'll notice it's all about I, it's all about me, it's all about David. So many times Satan has tried to get me to complain and gripe and have heartaches and sorrows and problems come in our lives and we just don't know which way to turn, and all of a sudden I get upset and frustrated. I'm just going to kind of, you know, they say confession is good for the soul but lousy for your reputation. I guess I'm just going to let you see my reputation, okay? And I hope that I do it so that you learn something. God has not put me through this thing and these things in my life just to cast them off and just go to the next one. God has put things in my life that I may be able to be a good teacher, be a good shepherd, be a good pastor. I'm telling you, there are some things in life you do not want to go through. And there are some things in this life I don't want to go through your life. I don't want to walk in your moccasins or your cowboy boots. I do not want your job. I don't want your life. There are some things in life that will pass by you and you'll miss it. There are things in my life that I have missed because I've griped or I've complained or I didn't listen to the Lord. I'm very jealous about time. I look at my life, I'm 67 years old. In 3 years, I'll be 70. In 13 years, I'll be 80. In 23 years, I'll be 90, if I make it. Scripture teaches us that we should know our time. I tell the Lord every morning, I said, Lord, you know my time is short. There are some things in my life that I want to see done. I have a bucket list, so do you. And this bucket list reminds me that there are certain people that I want to see get over the rough edges of life. My bucket list does not compose of things for me. My bucket list composes things for you. A true shepherd loves his sheep and will put his life in jeopardy so that his sheep can enjoy freedom, can enjoy peace. You may know not know me. The Bible says you ought to know them that labor among you. I gave my prayer list to Sherry the other day. I wanted her to see what I pray. She's in our house all the time. 10 o'clock Monday morning. To 5 o'clock, if I get home in time, and I don't have an emergency, it's a hospital or something, I'm pretty much there at 5 o'clock. She sees what goes on. She hears some of the conversations on the phone. So I said the other day, I said, do you want to read my prayer list? And so I typed it out. I don't know, there's 7 or 8 pages. Probably in 10 fonts. The things I pray for. I did not type out my prayer list of our families in our church. I prayed my prayer list. There's some things in my prayer list. The scripture teaches us that we ought to know God knows our frame, it's but dust. God knows about us. God knows the time is short, and therefore it is my responsibility to get everything I can to you and for you. It's not about me. I don't know if I should tell you some of these things. Because it may scare some of you going to go through some things in your life that you're not really sure you want to go through some things like that. Yesterday, I was very tired. I had constant care with my wife. Thursday at 5 o'clock, about 6, until this morning. Constant. Not much conversation. So yesterday afternoon, I thought I'd just I laid her down for a nap, and she's crying in there, and does that a lot. I thought I'd just go ahead and comfort her. And go in there and comfort her, and she comforted me. I don't know if I studied this, I started questioning some things. Started asking God some questions I've never asked him. Sorry. I love my wife. I loved our intimacy. You can imagine, Doctor. I loved her. She always was kind of smarty, you know. She wanted to get my goat. And she did it on purpose. She knew what button to push. She was a button pusher. Not out of meanness, but out of 43 years of wonderful marriage. And teasing. Well, she's a smart aleck, I'll tell you, that's what she is. You know, yesterday I lived Psalm 77, 1 through 9. It's about me. And just last Sunday, the Sunday before last, Sunday before, I've been telling you, it ain't about me, haven't I? I want to thank our church, you folks that take good care of me and take care of my wife and think of us, take us out to eat. That's a struggle. Easy to eat at home. All the sacrifice other people do for us. I just want to thank you. But I love Psalm 77, 10 through 20, because the next 10 verses, it's all about turning to God. And if you come into a situation like this, I know there are some people in this church that have some pretty difficult deals right now with going on in your life. Or you've had some, and some have passed, and some hadn't even come yet. Let me tell you something. It's a lot better to live Psalm 77, 10 through 20 than it is 1 through 9, because 1 through 9, that's when we start getting all poochy lift and we get started complaining and griping and thinking it ain't fair and everybody else is out having fun. And my friends are off to a pastor's conference. And I told Rick tonight, I said, I went to 40 pastor schools. Don't you tell me I wasn't wanting to be there with you. But it just ain't working. It just doesn't work. You don't have to understand how to deal with your heartaches. You don't have to understand how to deal with your heartaches. You just have to, number one, keep looking up and run to God. I'm going to give you some things that I think will help you. I'm not going through this thing for you to just not to get anything from this. We're all in this. I'm your pastor. That's your pastor's wife. Amen. How many? Just for interest, would you please stand if you knew my wife before her ventricle cardiac arrest? Would you just stand? How long did you know her? Huh? 6 months. That's right. We went and we banged on your door one day. The dog scared the death out of her. That's why she's had the problem today. No. All right, you may be seated. All those who never knew my wife before, would you please stand up? I wish you'd known her. Yeah. One of these days I've been trying Thank you. Maybe see that. I've been trying to compile some videos of her just pounding the stuffings out of that panel there. On Saturdays, my wife and I used to run the Jellamy Club. Remember, Marcia? What's the Jellamy Club mean? That's right. Jellamy Club. And while everybody else sold it, and my wife and I would throw all these kids on a bus, and we'd go to, how many were in my Jellamy Club, Marcia Jellamy Club? Look at that. We'd throw them on the bus, carry them around to the rest homes, do rest homes, amen, with them. And then she'd tell a story every Saturday. So first of all, keep looking up and run to God. When you get these problems in your life, don't scare them, Marcia. When you get these problems in your life, and you're going to have some problems, you run to God. I told God yesterday, I can't keep it up. I don't know if I can keep it up. Then the grandkids came over last night, forgot about it, we're happy. Secondly, keep your footing sure. Know where you're standing. Do you know that you're right with God? Psalm 31 says, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. I do not put my trust in other people. I put my trust in God. But thank God there are people that you can put trust in them. You know they're going to be there. That's important, amen. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear and hear to me. Deliver me speedily. I like that. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Number two, keep your sure footing. Just keep your footing sure. Make sure you know where you're at. I want to tell you something. This thing would drive me crazy if I didn't know of God and heaven. I don't know how people do it. I know people that are in rest homes and all the troubles and sorrows go in their life and they have nothing. And all I have to do is pull them apart and say, dear God, I'm having some trouble here. Number three. I've got it number four, but I skipped three and I don't know where three went. I'm going to just say number four and you'll wonder after you take a note, what was number three? I don't know. Number four, have a good foundation in the Bible. Every morning, got to read your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. I don't care who you are. You've got to read your Bible. You'll never get through unless you read your Bible. Some of you have unsaved husbands. You need to read your Bible. Some of you have unsaved wives. You need to read your Bible. Some of you have unsaved friends. You need to read your Bible. Psalm 18, 1 and 2. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength, the Lord of my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. Psalm 119, 14. Thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. I guarantee you, when this little lady comes to my house, for the most part, the Bible's open and I'm reading it. I need the Word of God. And if the preacher needs the Word of God, what in the world about you guys? Do you know what's going to happen tomorrow? That little 18-year-old girl coming to school a little late, spun that car out, wham, hit by a truck. She's dead. Gone. Some of you knew her. My grandson was her boyfriend's friend. I hope to God that Adam read his Bible that day because his friend needed to hear about God that day. You don't know that. You can have all the counselors you want. You can have all the chaplains you want. But if you don't get something in here from the Word of God, you've lost the whole day. Boy, the other day I was going. I'm going to confess my sin. I was going the other day. And she got up. And my goodness, when she gets up, man, she is the queen. And I am the pauper. I am the peasant. I am the slave. Yes, mama. Yes, mama. Yes, mama. Oh, yes. Nothing gets done. Y'all come over and just watch me. It's amazing. You gotta have her juice, you gotta have her medicines, you gotta have her bathroom, you gotta have this, you gotta dress her, you gotta live, Only person laughing is here is Miss Sherry. She has experienced the sheer castle. Well, I tell you, when Sherry comes, man, I'm like this. Sorry. Psalm 119:05. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can I keep going through this thing? I hope this is not worrying. I hope you don't mind me telling the story. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I want you to pray for me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. This did not surprise God. He knows exactly what's going on. He knows exactly how he's teaching me and training me. I'm finding out that I'm not Superman. There are a few things in this world I can't do. What's with that? I got this big S on my chest. For Sheldon. I saw your note you were preaching off this morning. It's got Superman on the bottom there. I'm running into the Krypton all the time, though. Kryptonite, right? Thank you. Well, that's been a long nap. Number five, which is number four, but I missed the point, okay? Keep going forward, take the next step. Keep going forward, take the next step. Don't stop. Don't you dare stop. Don't you dare stop. I'm stopping because I feel the sneeze coming on, and that wouldn't be pretty. Take the next step. Psalm 119:133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not my iniquity have dominion over me. Satan uses my iniquity all the time. Hey, you remember when? Satan doing that all the time. Does he do that to you? What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I like what somebody put on that computer. It said, Satan keeps reminding me of things I used to do. All I do is remind him what's going to happen to him. Reminding me of my life before, and I'm going to tell him his future. You're going to burn in hell, Satan! Boy, he brings that stuff all to me. He just keeps bringing that iniquity up to me. I read the scriptures, and in my prayer I said, Dear God, help me with the mystery of iniquity. I think sometimes that mystery of iniquity is the things that we used to do, he keeps bringing it up to us. Have you ever been driving down in your car or something, all of a sudden, boom, something hits you in your brain you haven't thought about for years? Keep going forward. Take the next step. Just take the next step. Sometimes it has to be blind step, and it's called faith. Well, this is what I'm going to do. Number five, which is six on my notes, keep faithful to church. Keep faithful to church. It's very easy to say, I don't feel good. I just don't think I'll make it. I am tired. How many of us? No, don't do that. It's actually only 6 o'clock right now, so. I'm tired. I deserve a break. I'm just going to lay low. I'm going to tell you what an old man told me one time. He says, "You know, Sonny, I'm tired all the time. And if I didn't do things when I'm tired, I'd never do nothing. But I found, Sonny, that once I get going and started, I have a ball." So let me remind some of you folks that are over 25. Just go do it. Go to do it. Take a mini vacation. Boy, I'm so thrilled to see Jonah and his sweet wife go to Missoula. And the Pruitts go to Missoula this week. That'll do more for you than anything. It'll kill your mother, but it'll do... She's in the hospital now. No. An afternoon. I love living in Great Falls because I can jump on... I can get in the car. I was going to say my motorcycle. Some of you can't do that. But I can jump on in my car and go up to Glacier, spend the day, and come home and be back before dark. That's a mini vacation. That's getting away from everything. And thank God the cell phones don't work up there. Take the next step. Number 6, be faithful to the church. I love this scriptures. I think this teaches more about being faithful to church than any other scriptures in the Bible besides Hebrews 10:25. It's Luke chapter 2, verse 36, 38. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years. That's 84 years. So you can kind of guess how old she was. Plus she lived with her husband for 7 years. So you add to that, she's an old lady. Which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And she, coming in an instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption of Jerusalem. She was there, and you know, she didn't miss out of seeing the Lord Jesus Christ, the baby Jesus. Why? Because she was there. I hear some people say, "Boy, don't mess the service of Heritage. You have no idea what's going to happen." She was there. Keep faith in church. I don't care. Whatever happens, come to church. I was never so proud of anybody in my life as Fern Gibbons. When her husband passed away, she was here playing the organ. That's the kind of people I like to run around with. Some people, their loved one, they've been ministered to and their loved one passed away. You don't see them for a month. You need church. That's when you really need it. Good night. My mama passed away. I come home for the funeral. And they have their visitation over Sunday night. And I said, I'll be there after the church is over. And one of my sweet sisters says, "What? Charlie, you can't do that. Think of all the people that are going to come and want to see you." I said, "They can see me when I get there. I'm going to church." And I said, "What do you think my church back home in Heritage Baptist Church, Great Falls, Montana, will think of their pastor not coming to church on Sunday night?" I happen to preach faithfulness. And if I preach faithfulness, bless God, I better live faithfulness. Boy, awful quiet out there. Where? Jonah, hold your sign up. Say amen. Gone into vacation, forgot everything, didn't you? Now here's the deal. Here's the deal. You be faithful. Troubles come, heartaches come, you be faithful. Don't you have the preacher looking where you at. Oh, by the way, you know I like you to sit in the same places. Some of you rats have changed it around seats a little bit. Don't do that. Ortez has always sit here. Jim and Julie always, used to sit here. I don't know where they're at right now. Walter's sitting there. Crabtree's sitting there. You guys are supposed to be over here. Pat, where in the world do you come from? You're always sitting there. Where do you guys usually sit? You're in the wrong seat, pal. But I just focus. I know, and all of a sudden I see people, and it just bothers me, and then come find out they're working in the nursery, amen. Number six, which is seven on my deal, keep forgiving in your heart. Listen to me. Keep forgiving. Keep forgiveness in your heart. I am sorry. Keep forgiveness in your heart. Did you know that you're stupid too? I said, did you know you're stupid too? You're supposed to say, not me. Marcia, say, not me. Say, not me. That's right. There is not a person in this room tonight that has not offended somebody. Listen to me now. There's not a person in the room that has not offended somebody, made somebody mad. Somebody like to just jack slap you to tomorrow. There's not a person in this room that isn't. So therefore, have mercy. Because you don't know when the next time you're that stinking thing that's set on fire in hell is going to do it again. We fail. We falter. We go against things. There are things that we have preached for years that we fail and do. Oh, brother. And then, that's when we keep the forgiveness in our heart. I'm sorry. Just get rid of it. Forget about it. Get on with life. What does the Bible say? Then said unto he the disciples, it is impossible that the offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck and cast in the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself. If thy brother transgresses against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Hey, that's not a great idea. And if he trespass against thee seven times a day, and seven times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. By the way, this is in the Bible. Luke 17, 1 through 6. Might be a good idea for some of you to get this one. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea, and it should obey thee. But what he's all about, he said, well, that's cool. But what's he saying? He said, hey, when somebody comes to you and does something wrong to you, what are you supposed to do to them? What are you supposed to do to them? Go to them. Say, you offended me. And sometimes it's a secret sin to them. They didn't even know they did it. And they said, hey, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And what are you supposed to say? Yes. But the Lord, he has to always put it on more, If it's seven times, I've never had anybody come to me and say, nobody's ever offended me seven times. Now they've offended me a few times, but never seven times in a day. But God said, if they do, then you're supposed to do what? Forgive them. Excuse me? Mrs. McDonald, what did you say? I have bad ears. then I guess it's up to them, isn't it, my dear? We just keep on going. We live like Jesus. There are some people that just don't get it. There'll be people that just don't get it. I pity them. They just don't get it. I want to live as close as I can to this Word of God, because that is what I'm going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ about. Therefore, I must know my Word of God. I hope that answered your question. We are responsible for ourselves. If I have offended somebody, come to me. I got the most congenial award when I was playing football in high school. I got the congenial, you know, like the beauty contest, you know, the ugly girl that has funny, talks funny and everybody loves her. She gets the congenial prize, right? I got the congenial prize in the football team. And I'm going, what is this? Because I always want to be rotten muscle and steel and hell. With Sheldon Shearer, number 44, come up. We're giving you the congenial award this year. I'm going, right. And the coach says, I've never seen a guy hit a guy so hard in my life and then stop and pick him up and brush him off. Are you okay? Boom! Hit him again, amen. I was congenial about it. That's really what we ought to be, shouldn't we? We go full force, full throttle. Everything we can for God. And there will be people that will run over. And there will be people get on, you know, they'll get run over because you're going. I had a football player one time. We were playing flag football. My coach says, don't do that. Guy's going to get hurt. And it was just a good little afternoon game. Kid ran at me, and so I just didn't turn. I just went right at him. 3 days later, I seen him his dad was a professor, and he says, we're at the hospital. I said, why? He says, my son ran into you. I said, so? He says, he broke his collarbone, and they had to put a steel pin in his collarbone. He broke it so bad. I'm so sorry. Your son's an idiot running at me. But anyway, I didn't say that. Thought it. Didn't say it. Forgiveness in your heart. Every person in this church pretty much lives in a family at your home. And I know brothers and sisters don't always see it the way you see it. Especially when they start wearing your clothes. And they don't hang them up the way you hang them up. And first of all, you wearing her clothes. You drive me crazy, my little sister. She used to try to wear my stuff. What are you wearing my stuff? Don't do that. Don't stretch those out. That wouldn't look nice. And people get mad. And ugly. Somebody may get some cotton candy and the other one won't share it. And you get mad. What do we do about it? We teach our children what? The Bible says share. That was our thing. I don't know where in the Bible it says that, but I would say, now boys, the Bible says share. All right. We took care of that. If there was one piece of candy, or a piece of cake, or a piece of pie, the guy that cut the pie could not be the first user of a piece of the pie. So if he cut it, he didn't get it until everybody else got their piece. That really works good. Saved a lot of problems in my house. Number 7, it will be your 8. My 8, your 7. Keep feeding the poor. I think this means keep serving. You be the server. Don't you be the taker. Can I help you? Can I serve you? The person that wants to be served becomes the most ungrateful person in this world. You think you deserve to be served. Keep feeding the poor. Keep serving. Being content through change. Just be content through change. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Now that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, even Montana, therewith to be content. Be content. Here are some ways to be content. Number one, fight time for your Bible. If you miss your Bible in the morning, you'll never get it. You're talking to a man, a seasoned preacher. If I don't get my Bible in the morning, I will pretty much not get my Bible in the morning. The other day I did get it. I waited until about 9 o'clock at night. Finally found time. Got somebody in bed. It got quiet in my house. I don't concentrate very good, so I got to have full concentration. Get your Bible. Fight for it. Number two, get into a routine of reading your Bible and praying. Number three, work to stay organized. Woe is me on being organized. Work to stay organized. Number four, work to stay healthy. If you're sick, pretty hard to take care of daddy, pretty hard to keep care of mama, pretty hard to take care of kids if you're sick, isn't it? Work to control your thoughts. Get them back in the straight and narrow. Don't let your mind wander, because it'll get lost. It'll never find its way back. Mind is something terrible to lose. I can't find things when I got a mind. Are you ready for number six? Keep your mouth shut. Something happened today. Somebody asked a question. I said, can't say anything. Can't say about it. Can't talk about that. But what? Can't talk about it because I know the next 3 minutes be on Facebook. Do you know the hardest thing we're happening today, and especially our chaplains and the death notifications? You stinking text messages before we even get the call to go do a death notification. Everybody knows about it. And we're not able to do it professionally. All of a sudden, some idiot puts on Facebook, she's dead. Keep your mouth shut. You don't have to tell everything you know. Amen. Even to your wife or your husband. There are some things you should never tell your wife. There are some things you should never tell your husband. The Bible says we are to bear one another's burdens. And when somebody says something not nice or somebody says they're not unkind, you don't need to tell your husband about it. What you're doing is you're lighting his fire and pushing his button, and he's going to do something about it. You push him long enough, he will take care of business. I don't care if he is a wimpy guy and wears lazy panties. He will take care of it. You push him long enough, he'll take care of it. More churches are broke up because some woman just kept up, and finally some guy says, all right, I'll take care of it. Keep your mouth shut. Psalm 39, 1 and 2, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle. While the wicked is before me, I was dumb with silence. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred. Ooh, I want to kill it. I want to kill that. Facebook. Gone. saw something on Facebook yesterday. I'm just devastated. A little fussing was going on there. Some of you probably saw it. And I went, eh. And so all of a sudden, one said something, somebody said something else, and somebody said something else. So, you call me an idiot? Whoa! I turned mine off and walked away from it. Amen. I thought that baby was going to explode. Shut your mouth. Now, my mother, if she was here right now, would be walking up this aisle, coming up the platform, and have a cake of soap in her hand. And say, what did you say, boy?
Be quiet.
So, honey, that would be a lot better word than saying shut up. So keep your mouth shut. Psalm 39:1-2 would probably be a good idea for some of you dear, dear people. And I find more men gossip more than women, so I'm sorry. I thought some of you girls would shout amen on that. And Veronica, maybe you need to hold the thing up, amen. Number 7. This is a big one. Are you ready for this? Don't let your tears turn to bitterness. Do not let your tears turn to bitterness. It ain't fair. I preached a sermon like that down, Brother Rudy Smith. I talked to him the other day. He said, man, they're still talking about that thing. It ain't fair. When something comes in their life, they say, well, you know, it ain't fair. That's what that preacher Shear said, that Yankee up there. Don't let your tears turn to bitterness. Wipe your tears. Thank God for tears. Tears are a way that you can get over some things. Yesterday when I was laying next to my sweet wife and trying to keep her from, because if I tear, she tears. I couldn't even get my breath a couple times. I had to turn to God and say, dear God, I don't understand this, but I know that you didn't make a mistake, and I know you love me, and we'll just get on with life. You say, wow. Now, that was the end. That wasn't, it was kind of, this is number 8. When you become bitter, you become useless. How can I help if I'm bitter? It ain't fair. I'm going to take my football and go home. It ain't fair. I'm not going to come anymore. It ain't fair. I'm not going to go with a church, a bunch of hypocrites in a church. Hey, that's why we have church, to help us hypocrites. Don't you tell me you're not a hypocrite. When Denver lost, you said, okay, whatever. You go on with life. You hypocrite. You should have burned yourself at the stake. Your team didn't even make it, brother. Amen. Don't be bitter. When you become bitter, you become useless. Number 9, you will be offended during times of sorrow. You must learn to forgive. People are going to say the stupidest things to you. They'll ask you why you didn't do this or why you didn't do that. And all of a sudden, you just... People don't know how to talk to you. I was talking to a bunch of sheriff's guys, and this is the first thing people say to you. He's right over there. The guy you've been looking for. Now, when I'm in my uniform and I'm with the guys and they say that, I says, no, sir, we're actually coming for you. And I'm telling you, you ought to see their face change. They just like, oh, I'm just kidding. Put your hands behind your back. But anyway. They say the stupid things. They'll say, hey, you remember that siren three weeks ago? They run code every night. And for some of it really bugs them. And as a civilian that comes in and been sworn, I come in and try to explain to them, and I'm going to meet with a whole group of them in the next month. I've got a few little things I'm going to tell them. They do not want to sit in front. They want to sit in the back. Why? Because they're always in control. You better thank God they're in control. When I go sit down in a restaurant with them, I never sit with my back. I always sit with my back to the door. They never sit with their back to the door. You know why? They got guns. And there, I took, oh, I know, Tucker. I took Tucker to dinner with me, and two lieutenants were there with me. And so I said, let's sit here. And he sat there. And constantly their eyes were going like this. And he says, I said, you see that? He says, yeah, man. I said, that's called hypervigilance. They're just watching all the time. They're my protectors. They're your protectors. Somebody's going to do something bad, they're going to stop them. Hey, you know what? Don't become so bitter about certain things. They get kind of bitter about things like that. I tell them, if you ever come to Heritage Baptist Church, there's a place in the back you sit back there. You have to sit by a PD guy back there, but and you can come late and leave early, and you don't have to answer the stupid questions that my people are going to ask you. Hey, did you see that siren? Hey, now, if can you carry a gun? They want to be left alone. Yeah, they're different cultures. They're kind of crazy people. Aren't you, Adam? Yeah, he's one of them. Drives me crazy. And I tried to explain to him and said, hey, you know why they talk to you like that? They don't know how to talk to you. You got a great big old badge. You got a great big old gun. And you got a whole bunch of other guns and knives all over your body. And you got this great big armor on you. And you walk like you got a peg up your back. They don't know what to say to you. And you've been intimidating them to run around with that green, that blue and red light on there, pull them over and tell them you want to see their driver's license and yes sir, no sir. Amen? They're not talking to you. I said, for the most part, they love you and thank God for you. Don't we? Yeah. 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 So be careful. There are going to be people that are going to ask you some dumb questions. There are people that are going to say some dumb things. What does God's word say? Forgive them. Get on with life. Overlook it. Get on with life. Number 9. You will be offended during times of sorrow. You must learn to forgive. Number 10. People do not care that you are a number, that you are in a number of other struggles. All of us have struggles. And people don't care about your struggle. They don't care about you having trouble at school. You don't care about you having trouble at work. They don't have care. They say, hey, how you doing? They don't want. That's an opening saying, I want to tell you what's going on in my life. You just shut up and listen to me. Well, how you doing today? Well, did you know what happened to me the other day? And Brandon, I'm just trying to tell you what we are. People do not care that you're in a number of other struggles. They don't care that you gotta do this. I was really in a hurry the other day, and God stopped me. And he wanted to talk to me and talk to me and talk to me and talk to me, and I was late. But I didn't want him to know I was late. He didn't care about what was going on in my life. He didn't care about I was going to be late. I had to get back and do this and do that before I had to relieve him. Sherry, he didn't care about that. He had some problems. You know what? That's okay! Because I'm to live different. I'm a Christian. You're to live different. You're a Christian. You're not an atheist. It's not about you. It's about him. Can I glorify my Heavenly Father? And the last one, aren't you glad? They only care about themselves, period. So how do you deal with a heartache? You turn over God. And you understand that God has not failed you yet, though you've failed him billions of times. He never failed you yet, and He never will fail you. And you, with your faith that you have seen God already work, you can step out on another thin ice and trust Him that He will never leave you or forsake thee. Problems come? Yeah. I come to you tonight hoping that this does not hurt you, and you say, oh, brother, I heard it so many times with a preacher. I'm just telling you, I've learned some things. I want to help you. And there's going to be a time in your life that it's not because of me. I'm telling you. I have weaknesses. I have heartaches. I have sorrows. I have a lot of things going on. But I know who my Redeemer. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I know that He will help us. Just a few things. What do I really tell you? Read your Bible and pray and be kind one to another. That's really all it's about. If you know those three things, read your Bible and pray and be kind to your neighbor. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. That'll take care of it all. But it's when we start getting fidgety and we start getting upset and we start thinking that people didn't treat us right and we want to be served instead of served, then we're going to be in trouble. I was with a guy one time. He couldn't drive. And he was griping and complaining about people weren't there on time. I want to shake him so that his gizzard came out of his mouth. And I want to say, first of all, you don't pay the gas for that car. You don't pay the insurance for that car. You didn't pay for that car. These people have other things in life to do also. You ought to be just happy that somebody would give you a ride. You lose your appreciation, you lose your thanksgiving, and you're pretty near gone. If you don't thank people and try to give them back something, you say, well, I have nothing. Yes, you do.
Oh, I know that took time out of your day, but
do you know what that does to the person? It's an act of kindness. Thank you. Did you know this world does not revolve around you? When this thing happened to Marcia, and I was in intensive care, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, a deacon was there to meet me and walk me down like security, my wingman, and take me to the car. And I got my car and I drove home, 10 o'clock. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Saturday night, I knew it was coming. And I'm not bitter about it. You just got to understand, people have their life too. You can be at the hospital maybe one or two or three times. But man, when we were what we were going through, you can't live at the hospital. We were. No, son, my son had to go back to South Carolina. And my other son had to go to work. And guess who's there? Hello! Well, that Saturday night, I had already determined in my mind that people have things to do and it's not about me. It would have crushed me if it wasn't. I walked out of the intensive care unit. Some of you know what I'm talking about on the fifth floor. Walking out and it coming up that long. It's an incline. And that seemed like the longest walk I ever took. And I was hoping, to be honest with you, I was really hoping. I knew it wasn't going to be. But I was hoping that someone would be there in that waiting room and say, hey, preacher, let me walk you out. There, I went by there and there's flowers from all kinds of different churches and every kind, and from the sheriff's office and Shield. There's flowers in there, but there's nobody there. I understood that. You know why? Life must go on. My life stopped. Theirs had it. It was Sunday morning. Sunday's coming up. Man, people got to get ready for church. Sunday school teacher got to make sure that everything's ready. Everything has to be going. I walked there and I said, yep, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't know when, but I knew it was going to happen. I punched the button, went down, got my car. Nobody shot me. Nobody chased me. I just got my car and drove home. You listen to me. You people that think that you are the king and the queen, I'm telling you, you aren't the king and the queen. Life does not revolve around you. Life should revolve around him. And you will not get bitter and you will not get stupid and you won't say bad things about other people because they don't take care of you. I didn't know they were your guardian in the first place. Kind of like the little boy and little girl, you know, they grew up and their dad and mama always took care of them. One day dad and mama didn't take care of them. They were mad because dad and mama didn't take care of them. Hey, you know what? When my dad passed away, he didn't owe me nothing. I owe everything to him. Boy, we are so stupid. We get things so mixed up. By the way, inheritance is not for your children. Inheritance is for your grandkids. You ought to read your Bible. I'm not supposed to give something to my boys. I'm supposed to take care of my grandkids. You know that? It's in the Bible. Read it. Funniest thing. You see those things in the Bible when you read them. I don't know how to end this thing. I'll put this stand. Amen. I don't know what point I'm at. Point of no return, I think. Listen, don't get bitter. Things are going to happen to you. Read your Bible. Pray. Love the Lord God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. And be good to your neighbors. That's Christianity right there. Father, bless this time. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. And Lord, I pray that we would determine our hearts and our lives to realize it's not about us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for us. And Lord, bless the food we're about to eat in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.